WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Warner Brothers Discovery and Paramount Global are in talks to discuss a potential merger. Joining us with the latest details is Tom Lason, media analyst in Seattle, Washington. Tom, thank you for joining us today. And this seemed inevitable because Warner Brothers and Paramount, Tom, are the two major studios that don't have something else as a source of revenue. There isn't a cable company attached to it, or a theme park, or a major electronics company. They have to live and die by advertising and the cable bundle.
Yes, they do, and that's going away. Linear television is dying, and the ad share is dying right along with it. It's a major secular decline. They both have, you know, things that appear on the surface that they could be combining with CNN and HBO and TNT, along with CBS and Comedy Central and MTV. But, you know, I ask this question, Rob, and that is, is this merger a mirage? It seems like the right thing to do so we can go back and say the same old things. We can have synergies. We can combine costs. We have greater scale. But I'm really not sure if multiple sinking ships that rely on what I think is a broken model now in streaming combine to make a floating ship. Does two wrongs make a right? I'm not sure that it does.
And where are they buying just Paramount and or this merger involves Paramount and CBS and the Associated Media properties, or would Warner Brothers be getting the entire Sherry Redstone National Amusements portfolio?
That I haven't read, but I do know that Sherry's been shopping it around. She is looking for a dance partner, if not an outright buyer. So I think, you know, on the surface, the idea here is to combine Max and Paramount Plus and try to stop the bleeding on their streaming services. But again, you know, the share prices are valued in the aggregate, and there has been so much value destruction, and it's become clear that, as you've said before, you know, picking up digital dimes in place of broadcast dollars isn't going to work as a model. And the idea that you can just acquire subs, green light everything, spend whatever you want, it doesn't matter, the earnings will come. If you build it, they will come, is clearly proven not to be the case. There are too many players, television is too expensive, not enough people want 8 or 9 subs on their list every month and a bill to pay for. Something is going to have to give. And I have a sneaky suspicion that these mergers, we've talked a long time that this is going to happen, but I have a feeling it's more of a Band-Aid than it is a cure for the underlying disease.
And then very quickly, that puts a lot of market share under one roof, and you do have a Department of Justice that is a little more provides a little more scrutiny of mergers these days compared to years past. And does this get the blessing from a Joe Biden White House?
I'm not sure that it does. I think that there is a very anti-merger, anti-deal vibe taking place, you know, in the administration. There is some crossover here. You know, it depends on how finely you want to parse it. I guess you can make the attorneys on both sides will make their fine arguments. At the end of the day, though, it's two major voices, two major media conglomerates with major libraries and major cable properties and you know, a studio and those kinds of things coming together to reduce the number of players. With that said, though, if all the players aren't going to make it, should that be a regulatory barrier? Should we instead try to save some of the platforms, save some of the voices, save some of the content, save some of the jobs? I think that's an argument that can be made on the other side, too.
Tom Lason, media analyst in Seattle, thank you for joining us.